This is the Shape America podcast, hosted by Colin Brooks
and Matt Pomeroy, making 50 million strong by 2029.
Welcome to the Shape America podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Sandino, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Shape America podcast, February Reflections. This month's reflection is going to be a little bit different than normal. While at CAFRD, my state conference, Matt, Colin, and I thought it would be pretty awesome to see reflection through the eyes of other educators. So we sought out some educators from California and asked them what reflection meant to them, as well as the type of tools they used to reflect. Reflection, as we all know, is essential to our practice. It helps us see our teaching with a different lens, helps us grow in our weaknesses and strengths, but most importantly, it benefits the faces we see each and every day, our students. We can't wait to share with you all the responses we obtained shortly after some quick announcements. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to listen in and instill growth in your practice through professional development that's delivered right to your ears wherever you are. We always enjoy hearing your thoughts, so if you want to ask us any questions or give us any feedback, please feel free to email us at podcast@shapeamerica.org or even tweet me at @smsandino. Help us keep that conversation going on social media and on whatever platform you listen in on with comments, likes, and shares. Okay, so before we start the show, we wanted to inform you on some great happenings with Shape America. First and foremost, Music City is alive and rocking with health and physical educators from all over the nation and the world even. It's truly an amazing sight to see, and if you weren't able to make it out this year, we highly encourage making it out to the Shape America National Convention and Expo in the future. We also wanted to highlight a very special event that's happening tonight, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. If you haven't heard the buzz on social media yet, Shape America is sponsoring a social event and collaborative competition in Shape Nashville called the Phys Ed Chopped Challenge. If your mind has wandered off to the Chopped TV show, you're definitely on the right track. This challenge consists of 10 groups of teachers that will compete in a 3-round contest. Each round has a theme. The first one, instant activity. The second, skill lesson. And the third, review/closure. All rounds will feature a wacky combination of PE equipment. The teams will be expected to use all of the equipment to create a game or activity that fits within the theme of each round. 4 all-star judges will evaluate each activity based on creativity, use of equipment, and presentation. At the end of each round, teams will be chopped from the competition until one team is crowned the Phys Ed Chopped Champions. The Phys Ed Chopped Challenge is being supported by our friends at Sporttime featuring Spark, a division of School Specialty. The winning team will win and share all of the mystery equipment ingredients. So if you find yourself in Shape Nashville tonight, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in the Omni, Legends Ballroom D, make sure you stop on by and cheer your heart out for these 10 teams. You don't want to miss all of the brilliant ideas that will erupt from the room. Who knows? You might even want to try some of these creations with your own students. If you're not going to be in Shape Nashville, that's okay. Be sure to follow the hashtag as there will be live coverage of this phenomenal event on Twitter. So here's what you do. Plug in #PhysEdChopped and hit the search button. I guarantee you'll scroll upon a massive amount of posts filled with nothing but creativity. Now, without further ado, let the show begin with some of California's finest as they talk reflection and reflection tools.
David Tran, assistant principal, high school 9th through 12th grade, Huntington Park, California. Reflection to me is the process in which I think back to practices that I currently engage in and analyze it to see if it is the most effective practice and if it's culturally relevant the way I'm doing things. So when I was teaching, actually I still teach, I just teach adults now and teachers, the reflection tools that I use include getting feedback from participating teachers. I think that's one of the most valuable tools that I could use, because ultimately it's going to be the participants that are going to be able to tell me whether or not what I did was effective. The second tool that I use is conversations, just talking to people who see the presentation, other presenters, getting feedback from them. Recording myself is also another big one that I like to use, because sometimes you can't really see what's happening because you're in it. And so by recording it, you get a third point of view, which allows you to analyze a lot deeper.
Ken Dyer, I work in Delano, California. I am the director of physical education for grades TK through 8. For me, reflection is the single most important quality in anyone who's successful. A successful CEO is able to accurately and honestly reflect on what's working and what's not. A successful teacher, a successful parent, a successful custodian, it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, being able to take a step back and accurately and honestly reflect on what worked, what didn't, what you need to change is the single component of success. I've never known a teacher to be successful in their career if they were not a reflective person. As to reflection tools that I use, I'm pretty old school, a journal. Written notes on my lesson plans, being able to take a breath at the end of the day after 6 periods and think back first period, second period, third period, what was working, what didn't work. Sometimes I would take notes in the middle of the period because obviously your recollection's better when you're in the moment, and talk about what's not working and, you know, think about what's not working and what is working, how to tweak something. And I always said I felt bad for my first period because they were the guinea pigs. By 6th period, I was an expert in that lesson, because by 6th period, it never looked exactly the same as it did when the day started. So really, those are the tools that I use. Later in my career, I did a little bit more video review, and that certainly helped me learn to be more objective because the video didn't lie. And when I saw myself engaged in a practice or structuring a lesson in a way that was really not going to achieve what I had intended for the lesson to achieve, then that really allowed me to tweak it and make it better for the next time. So those were really the two tools that I use the most often.
I am Jessica Monlux. I teach at Oak Manor Elementary, Ukiah, California, Northern California, and I teach TK through 6. For me, reflection is what I base my teaching around. Everything I do in my classes, I always look at to see what worked, what didn't, why it did or did not, so that I can really pinpoint to make sure for down the road, I'm meeting the needs of all my students. I don't do it as just when something goes wrong. For me, it's every lesson. And even in the moment, and then being able to change things, even during the lesson for the next class, the next year, whatever it may be. When I'm looking at reflection tools that I use in my teaching, I have my lesson plans that I have from years past that are completely marked up with the what worked, what didn't, what needs to change, feedback from students. Another thing I do is I really do depend on the feedback from my students a lot in my reflection. I ask them to tell me what they thought worked, what didn't. Sometimes that's more useful than others. The other thing I do is I also really work with my students on their reflection of themselves in class. by using some inquiry questions for them and really have them reflect as a group for stuff as well as work on self-reflection.
My name is Kate Cox. I teach 4th through 8th grade physical education in Portola Valley, California. I've always thought of reflection as a key that opens the door to greatness. To me, reflection is really just a continuous analysis of input. It's like listening not only to what the students say, but how they say it. It's observing kind of what's working, what the sticking points are, trying to figure out why it happened that way, and how it could be more successful. I think as teachers, we make thousands of decisions every day. Each one of those, I try to pay attention to, see the result, put that in the bank of information that I process continuously, that I can pull back out and help make the best decision possible should a similar situation occur again. Thinking about the types of reflection tools I use, to be honest, I don't use a ton of fancy tools for my personal reflection. It's more of a nonstop process. It's kind of ingrained into the way I think. It starts when I wake up, ends when I go to sleep. Sometimes turning my brain off, trying to stop reflecting can be a challenge. There's times that I do use more structured and systematic approaches in my reflective process. And for those times, I like to just journal and use voice memos since, like many of us, probably a lot of our best thinking happens while we're working out. I like to capture those reflections on voice memos because as fast as I can type, my fingers have a hard time keeping up with my thoughts.
I am Eric DeVault. I teach high school physical education in Los Angeles, California. I think reflection for me is whenever I look at what I've done, a project or a lesson, and then I decide if I was happy with the results. If I was happy, then I keep going on that same track. If I wasn't happy, I adjust what I did so I can get better results the next time.
Matthew Bassett, K-8 physical education teacher at San Jose Charter Academy in West Covina, California. Reflection for me is the process that I go over what has happened in my classes and try to figure out what worked, what didn't work, what needs to be changed, and if I have any next steps that I need to work on. A lot of my reflection tools really revolve around me driving home and trying to process the day. I've gotten in the habit a few times of being able to write the things down. Sometimes I'll send myself emails and notes when I come up with ideas as reflecting in between classes to kind of help me remember what I had thought and to try to get me to change things up for the future.
Kimberly O'Hara Borowski, 9th grade health at Ocean View High School in Huntington Beach, California. Reflection is the most important part of teaching. To be reflective in your practice every day can help you grow as an individual. I want to make sure my content and lessons are culturally relevant, current, and engaging. It could be the perfect lesson that you've seen maybe at a conference or in theory, but it may not work for your students or a specific class. If I see a lesson that's going down sour or just not working out, I always modify it right then and there, and then definitely change it up for my next period's class to make sure it's better. A reflective tool I love at the moment is a tech tool called Peardeck.com. It gives me a lot of data on how students are doing in their practice and if they need more practice before I allow the kids to start their summative assessment project or performance tasks at the end of each unit. I also have used Flipgrid as a reflective piece. I also just take down some notes on my calendar. After work, I like to go on long runs, and I think about the day.